Hello, welcome to the Ops Team. This is our little show where we're going to go around the room and talk about the stuff that has happened in the past week for some of our favourite technology areas. But before we do, this is show number 17. Matt, can you show everybody what number 17 looks like? There we go. Yep. Lovely. Good work.
It's going to take a while very soon.
It's pretty cool. I think we're gonna have to see you taking your shoes off and your socks off in order to be able to complete that number series.
Oh dear, no. Yes. What you can't see from behind the security cameras, this building is essentially getting demolished around us. It's getting retrofitted and getting refurbished and everything. So this little bunker that we're in building 25 on Microsoft campus is. Yeah, it's undergoing a lot of renovation, and so you may hear some construction noises. We have to take our security cam down after this.
It's going to be a bit tricky. Just over there, you guys can't see this, but we're actually watching them pull apart a data center, and it's a sad sight as they remove all this beautifully knotted cabling and all this kind of amazing power supply stuff that's running from the ceiling. I think that they're going to turn it into an office.
Never mind. As long as they don't destroy my lab, that's the main thing.
Yes.
Exactly. So we go around the room, 5 minutes each on our respective technologies, from on-prem data center stuff to DevOps and open source stuff to Windows and Enterprise Mobility to blank. Still, Azure. We're still hiring. I keep putting the job career link in the notes.
We've been interviewing them. That is the thing. It's not like nobody's applying for this job.
No.
It is a hotly contested job.
The bar is high. It could be you. And so I will cover Azure stuff again quickly. But as we lead up to build, again, it's typically a little bit slower in terms of news as we move towards a conference that will no doubt be littered with announcements. So we've got a few things we can talk about this week. So we have a spinner. Our spinner to the camera how we fashioned a sandwich box that I had for breakfast this morning. A very healthy box, and I drew with type of pencil it was.
I think it was a propelling pencil.
Yeah, it was, but it was a lovely pencil. Yeah. It allowed me to do some good detail on the arrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is our spinner to determine who goes next.
Do the spin.
Oh no, okay. That's the first time the spinner has left the table. Is it like when you're playing a board game, you have to still use whichever way it was pointing?
I didn't even see which one was pointing.
It was a six. DevOps and open source, yeah. There we go. Right, so get the camera lined up, are we good?
Yep.
And you've got your 5 minutes on DevOps or Ops Dev and open source stuff starting.
Okay, I'm going to start with Docker Machine. So in case you didn't know, Docker Machine is a tool for provisioning and managing Docker Engine, meaning that if you have a Mac or Windows machine, you can run Docker, but you use Docker Machine to interact with the Docker Engine. And it's not just limited to your own machine. So you can use the cloud providers like Azure or even on-premises virtualization platforms like Hyper-V. And you can use Docker Machine to manage your virtual machines in Azure or Hyper-V. So Docker Machine uses something called a driver for doing this. And for Azure, up until now, it was using the service management model to access and manage Azure.
The old way.
And now I'm super happy to announce that it's now using the ARM model, the resource manager model.
Nice.
The pull request was just merged like last week, I guess. So you can just use Docker Machine to deploy new virtual machines using the new way, which is a ton better than the old way.
So to be clear then, this is a Docker tool that's managing VMs versus containers.
It's like you may have hosts in your own machine, in Azure, in Hyper-V, VMware, AWS, and you can use Docker Machine, just your single Docker Machine in your computer to interact all of these.
Right.
So you can just say Docker Machine, create a VM with this size using the Azure driver.
Okay.
So it will just connect to Azure and deploy a new Docker host or connect and manage your existing Docker host in Azure.
Okay. So this is purely to manage VMs that are running Docker.
Kind of. Right. You can also use Docker Machine to run containers, for example.
Yeah. But not to just run and manage your Exchange VM or your SQL Server VM.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, and also, how does that differ from Docker client then? Because you've got the Docker daemon, you've got the Docker client, the engine.
So the Docker engine, for example, if you're using a Mac or Windows machine, the Docker engine is kind of a REST API. Mm. You're using this REST API to interact with this. And Docker machine is more like a tool for provisioning and managing this engine.
Okay.
So you may have different or separate engines in different providers.
Right.
And you can use this Docker machine to interact with them.
So you could use Docker machine to deploy a new VM that's got Docker container capability within it. And then you would use the Docker client to create new container, start, stop, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right. And right now you can use a resource manager model.
Yeah. Okay.
It's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not complicated at all.
Hmm?
Not complicated at all.
No, not at all. It's just like --- driver Azure. It's just like that.
Nice.
And we have this open source technologies labs called Superhuman Labs. Mm. Interesting choice of naming.
Yeah.
So currently they have three labs. And the first one is called Hortonworks. It's an Apache Hadoop.
Yeah.
Something I have no idea what that is. But I'm going to
talk. Their logo is an elephant.
It's a big data cluster. So it lets you do big data map resolve, essentially, over tons of information.
Cool.
He does know stuff. Yeah, I told you.
The second one is about Chef. It's about automating infrastructure. So it shows how you can... It's a step-by-step lab document, by the way.
Right.
It just walks you through how you can deploy a Chef server in Azure and manage your nodes in Azure or out of Azure using this Chef server. It's a cool lab.
Right.
And the third one and last one as of now is Docker. It walks you through how to containerize an application. So you deploy a Docker host using the ready image in Azure Marketplace and just they have a sample application and you can Dockerize this and start using this in a container.
Right.
These are cool labs. And
so they are just essentially hands-on labs that you can just walk through.
Hands-on labs. But the nice thing is when you complete these labs, you can choose between Azure Pass or a Crazyfly 2.0 mini drone.
What, just for completing the labs?
I have no idea because I just checked the drone cost like $180. Wow. So I don't think that they're going to just hand out to this everyone completing the lab. Mm. But just complete the lab. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe you're going to a draw to win them or not. Yeah. We'll provide the links anyway.
Yeah,
and we're going to provide the links anyway. I'll be doing it if we can win a drone.
To get a drone.
Yeah. I mean, the Azure Passes, yeah.
Yeah. Or Azure Pass.
We've got Azure Pass, right?
I think I'll go with the drone.
Yeah. And speaking of labs, we also have the Parse Unlimited labs. We have GitHub, Microsoft Parse Unlimited MRP. It's open source version. Without MRP, GitHub, Microsoft Parse Unlimited. It's hands-on labs, step-by-step. We have many labs, but two labs that are connected to the one the cow voice. Just I'm gonna finish this.
Yeah.
We have a similar lab to deploy an infrastructure using Chef and also Puppet.
Right. So Parks Unlimited is an app that Microsoft internally
it's
have
a fictitious
built and
app.
Yeah.
We are using. It's full open source, the MRP one. So it shows it walks you through how you can deploy a non-Microsoft stack in Azure.
Right. Cool. Yeah. So we'll include the links. Make sure.
Yeah. The links
out.
Will be there. And
great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. You just about got through all your stuff. Nice. Nice. Okay. Who's next up
Let's
on
do
the spin? Let's try and keep it on the table, please.
Boom.
It's a very delicate box.
Oh, it's me. Okay.
That means I'm back to back.
You are.
10 minutes of experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hang on.
Who would have won that?
I think I might just have to grab my. My hoodie from over there to turn it into a pillow for those 10 minutes.
Oh, where is going now? I was going to say, is he going to be sick in his bag? But
no, I wouldn't do that to my own bag.
Thanks.
But yours is open, of course. Anyway.
Go for it. It's leather. It's wipe clean.
Wipe clean.
Mm. Right, let me start the timer for you. You've got your one item?
I have my items, yes.
Here we go. Boop.
Okay, so the first one is... on the last week, this week. Well, you may have seen this.
Excellent start.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Another company that makes some hardware released some nice new hardware.
Yay!
But they also updated their favorite operating system, iOS, as they did that, to iOS 9.3. And
so we're talking telephone hardware here.
We are talking telephone hardware,
right,
yes.
Okay.
We're talking about Apple.
Right.
Apple released I didn't think I'd have to spell it out for everybody, but Apple released... the iPhone 5, sorry, the iPhone SE, which is their iPhone
Small
thing, Which is very nice. And they also updated iOS to iOS 9.3, which brings a couple of new features. As always, we have zero-day support for everything that comes out from Apple. So we actually have the iOS 9.3 capability inside of Intune already.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. And we're working on adding some of the new features that came out in iOS 9.3 as well. Things like multiple profiles for education, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
So those are quite cool. Just a small announcement. We also posted something onto the Intune blog about how you can modernize your Windows management using Intune. So there's a lot inside of Windows that you can do that doesn't require you to use things like Configuration Manager and the Configuration Manager agent in order to be able to manage the hardware. And that's kind of important because a lot of you folks out there have told us that deploying the agent is not quite necessary in all circumstances. So you may very well want all of that rich functionality that the agent gives you. There's still a lot of good use cases for it, but there are also use cases where maybe it's not quite as great. So maybe you've got bring your own type machines where you need lighter weight management. Maybe you've got more of those machines that don't necessarily need all that depth and capability inside of the agent. So we've introduced a bunch of features that help support that. And we've actually just created this one blog post that brings it all together. And some of the things that we can do, we've talked about previously, things like the ability to do identity provisioning, so you can push Microsoft Passport profile down and push the policy down for that. You can also push down the ability to configure the device, use any of the MDM settings that are available, configure things that aren't even actually available in the like the current branch of the operating system yet, like enterprise data protection. Those settings are already made available inside of Intune. And we've got a bunch of other kind of neat and cool things that are available for you to be able to get your management up and running. And we support some of those maybe less obvious things like the dynamic provisioning inside of Windows 10. And that essentially means that you can take a machine from a retail location, sign into it with your Azure Active
Directory details. Pay for it, obviously.
Oh, you pay for it,
yeah. You don't just take a machine from a retail
Taking the machine probably going to get you arrested pretty much anywhere.
So to clarify, endorsing theft.
Don't steal the machine, just actually pay for it. Yeah. And then you log into it, you sign in with your corporate credentials, it pushes down the MDM profile and the MDM configuration to the machine.
Nice.
Just bootstraps it up to being an enterprise machine, including doing a SKU upgrade on it so that it can move from pro to enterprise.
Nice.
So, and that's all just done by logging into it as the end user. So
you can literally bring your own machine.
Yeah. You could
bring your own type of machine.
Literally bring your own type of machine. Yeah. You can, and it's great because there's bunches of use cases where people have seen this being very helpful. The traveling executive is the classic. So you've got a guy that or a girl that's traveling around the world, and being the traveling executive that they are, probably in your highly secure environment, you've made sure that they can't change their desktop wallpaper. So it's got your company logo on it. Somebody sees them on the train, decides that they would like the information from your company because they know who they are from the company logo that's on the wallpaper. So they steal the laptop. You've then got an executive that's got no hardware. They can pop into a local electronics retailer, buy a new machine, sign in, get themselves provisioned. Super simple.
Nice.
So that kind of stuff.
But your photo collection is gone forever.
Well, hopefully you're backing that up to your OneDrive.
There you go.
So, nice.
In that case, pretty cool.
Please don't use logo wallpapers, by the way.
It's a really bad idea. It's a really, really, really horrible thing
to do. But if you would like an ops team wallpaper.
Well, hey, we can work on that, can't we? Then with the one final thing on the Azure Active Directory side, Azure AD Connect Health for Sync has now gone into GA.
That's not Kinect.
Not Kinect.
That's the universal symbol for Kinect.
Connect. Right.
Yeah,
it's not Kinect.
Kinect,
I'm dancing. It's
Connect. Sign in as
well. Connect.
Yeah.
So this particular capability is pretty cool. If anybody's out there that's running like a sync infrastructure, so anybody on Office 365, anybody that's using anything inside of Azure Active Directory and synchronizing it to your on-prem directory, Azure AD Connect Health will monitor that environment and tell you if something's not working. So if things are taking too long to sync, if there's any kind of bad health, if your server goes down on-prem, your sync server.
Servers don't go down on-prem.
Well, apparently, you may have lived in the cloud for too long there, and you might be...
That was the Rick side of me came out.
Yeah, you might be under the impression that everybody has the stellar uptime that we have, so it's a little bit tricky. So it allows you to do all that. You can also see latency, you can see alerts and feedback. Pretty cool. All comes into the new Azure portal as well.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. And that's where we're actually moving all of these features.
Moving.
Yeah, moving all of those features.
Nice. Yeah. Is that it? Is that you?
That's the lot.
Good stuff.
I presume there was a moo
Oh yeah, sorry, you don't have your headphones. Yeah, sorry, I stopped it. Yeah, okay. There was a moo.
Cool. Okay.
It was about 2.5 minutes ago.
No, it wasn't. I went over by that.
It was
much.
Only 4 minutes ago.
Darn it.
Right, so spin. It's going to be me, but is it on-prem stuff first or is it Azure stuff first? Well, that was a poor spin.
Yeah. Let's do another spin.
That was better. I think that's close enough to me, that one. So we'll go on-prem stuff first.
On-prem.
Yep, so you don't, I'll let you know if you wouldn't go to my screen. I have the privilege, as soon as I run the timer, of being able to show stuff, but you'll get the links anyway, so it doesn't really matter. There we go. So my 5 minutes, let me just minimize my timer. The first thing I want to talk about, and I've got a selection of cool stuff in on-prem, some community resources, some Microsoft stuff that I want to share and make sure you're aware of. The first one is around a product that we all know and love on the show, which is the Operations Management Suite, a great tool for managing on-premises and hybrid related stuff, whether it's in our cloud, in your cloud, in third party, whatever. They've got a mobile app, you may or may not be aware of it. I think we did talk about it a little while ago, probably a lot of episodes ago. So it's available on any platform, Android, iOS, and Windows. And it's a cool way to, on the go, keep an eye on what's going on your systems. So if we look on my screen briefly, you'll see there's been some new functionality added to it. So firstly, if you're not aware, there's an app available. If you are aware, there's new functionality. Now you can start to see the rich dashboards that you've got in the PC view, in the web view, but you can now drill down into them to see more depth and information about that particular dashboard that you've drilled into. So for instance, on the screen here, you'll see they've looked at a system update assessment, they've clicked on it, and they've gone into more detail about what kind of updates are required and missing and so on. And you can start to swipe left and right to see the different focus areas. So pretty slick. It's a real cool thing to have. If you've got OMS, it's great to add that mobile client or that mobile app to start to see some of the stuff that's going on there. So pretty cool. Second thing, I think is actually related to OMS, but I'm going to talk about it a bit later on. I might even cover it in the Azure section because it does apply there as well. VMM. VMM, and this is more of a troubleshooting thing with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, 2012 R2 and I presume 2016 would be similar. On the vNicholas virtualization blog, so vNicholas writes a lot about cloud automation, virtualization and stuff, always has loads of cool stuff to read, and I'll provide the link. If you are using bare metal deployment with Virtual Machine Manager, which if you're not familiar, you have a virtual disk, a virtual hard disk with a Windows OS inside your library, you wake up out of band a physical server that's got an OS, that's not got an OS, doesn't matter. We wake it up, we boot it into a WinPE environment, and we lay down that virtual hard disk from the VMM library onto the system, boot it from VHD, and you've got a freshly provisioned machine. Now, in the future, this will be nano server that you can deploy, a server with a desktop experience, server core, doesn't matter. Cool stuff to centralize deployment of Hyper-V hosts. Now, he encountered an issue where he was booting or trying to deploy to UEFI and as opposed to legacy BIOS, encountered a few issues, and the blog post details all of that, which is pretty useful in case you are encountering challenges deploying to a UEFI firmware-based platform, which ideally people will be deploying to going forward because it gives you enhancements around things like secure boot and so on. So definitely worthwhile checking out his blog post. Mm. Now, sticking with other resources that are out there that are non-Microsoft specific or non-Microsoft produced, I noticed on my Twitter feed a link for the Cloudcast, which is an award-winning podcast on all things cloud computing and all sorts on there. There was a Cloudcast number 243 on understanding the Azure stack.
Sorry, David Tesla just appeared behind Oz for a second there.
What's he doing?
He's, I don't know.
He's well, he's late anyway. Yeah. So understanding the Azure stack. So they've got Corey Sanders who
he's come in.
What are you doing?
Oh,
it's
recording here.
What's going on? Oh, this is my 5 minutes here.
Oh, hey. Still going, keep going.
Oh, well, you're in front of my camera.
Oh. No.
What's going on? Anyway, so the Cloudcast, Understanding Azure Stack with Corey Sanders, who you may recognize from Tuesdays with Corey, one of Rick's videos, channels that he works on, and Ryan O'Hara, who works on the on-prem side. So how we're bringing Azure down to the customer data center. So if you've not had enough Azure Stack love, there's certainly some more interesting perspectives you get from those two guys on that podcast. And I'm sure some cool questions from the neutrals on the Cloudcast side as well. Now, how long have I got left now? Who knows? I shouldn't look. We released a new channel, the Windows Server channel, on Channel 9. I'll provide the links for that. Mm-hmm. Only a couple of posts on there at the moment. But the first three are a series of videos that some of the engineers put together, or one of the engineers specifically put together in the Windows Server team, on software inventory logging. Which, if you're not familiar with software inventory logging, it's a way for, and there's some good TechNet documentation as well, in Windows Server 2012 R2 and onwards, helps you, the data center admin, to log Microsoft software asset management data for your deployments over time. So before that, it was a little bit more tricky. If you need all the information... Is that the cow already? Oh, no. Hang on, let me stop the cow. So I've started, so I'll finish. So yeah, something very useful. You run it on a local server that you want to inventory. Doesn't collect from remote servers, but very, very useful in order to collect information on what software is installed on your servers. So I can provide the links to that in the videos and stuff. And that's all I was going to talk about. In fact, I'll save my others for my Azure section, unless you're going to do the Azure section.
We can't let's make David do the Azure section without any fret.
Oi!
Okay.
Hang on, whoa.
No. I think they...
I can do it. I figure it out.
Something tells me that with the research that Matt had to put into this before we did this, your section may end up being about 20 seconds long.
Might be.
Yeah.
Well, we can have another little section. It's a special occasion. Right, hang on. Hang on then. Right, so... I'll do a little bit of Azure stuff. We'll spin it. And if it points to me again, I'll do Azure stuff. And if it points to you, you can do some DevOps stuff. Although Oz has done some DevOps stuff already.
Already, so it's going to be...
kind of.
Yeah.
Like, kind of.
You'll have to... We'll have to have a... No, you just have to
hang on, I need to turn his microphone up, though.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I'll start the spinner.
I have no voice.
Oh!
That's a sign.
Oh, no.
Right, do you want to just say something?
Yeah.
Okay,
here we go.
Yep,
that sounds good. Right, let's start the timer for an unorthodox another 5 minutes on DevOps.
All right.
Are you ready?
Sure, yeah. we're on the fly today. That's good stuff. So I was, down in San Francisco, Monday, Tuesday, and... One of the things I did was go to the Docker office and record some content. So I thought it could be fun to talk a little bit about that. We did an interview with an engineer on setting up Swarm cluster in Azure.
Nice.
So there's a nice template to get yourself a Swarm cluster to, do some container orchestration for your system.
Nice.
As well as... get not only a Linux-based container Docker host behind that, but a Windows-based containerization host behind there. And then once you have that, you've got magic happens, right? You got the Swarm in front of there, and you can say, oh, I want Windows container. I want Linux, whatever you want.
Nice.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. So there's one thing. Yeah.
Shame I talked about that already, but never mind.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah,
amplifying.
No, didn't.
Okay. So the other thing which I found out because I was at Mobile Delivery Days and I delivered that session down there, but one thing I found out was that there is a way to automate apps into the iOS store. I had always thought for the longest time that you just can't do it. Don't even try.
Like there's somebody rolling a massive thing past our window.
This building's about to be blown up.
Yeah, excellent.
It's happening right now around us.
But
we're in a bunker, so it's fine.
There's a tool called Fastlane, which is now moved into Fabric.io, which is owned by Twitter. But you can essentially do full automation to the iOS store, which is pretty cool. So all the screenshots, like the whole submission, the whole thing, which... I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Should be in your section, that.
Yeah, it should have been, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You're just... Yeah.
Anything else?
That's what I got right now.
Oh,
that's the stuff that's out of my head.
You got two minutes and 40 seconds to go.
Okay, I know that's unusual for me. See, I went over last week, so now I'm
we'll give a story about last week,
right?
and your camera control. Yeah, last week.
Oh boy,
the whole intro was on your screen.
Yeah.
So we're waving at the camera. Yeah, it's just on DevOps Factory. So I've been creative.
So I'm thinking that the title of this episode is going to be something called, along the lines of, "He's Tezzard it."
Oh,
could be. It's a Tezzard.
Yeah, dropped in on it. Yeah. There you go.
So no cow for you. Mm-hmm. There we go. It's end of your time. So there's just left for me to do a bit of Azure stuff. I'll keep it relatively brief. Here we go. There we go. Beep. So it links in with on-prem stuff, actually. Did you guys know about the Microsoft Azure Hybrid Use Benefit?
Ooh, is that an acronym?
It's A-Hub.
A-Hub, yeah.
A-Hub,
yeah,
they're called Gangster Rapper.
I saw that.
So moving to the cloud, everyone's thinking about it. Different people at different stages. So there's a unique licensing benefit. So it is a licensing. We don't often talk about licensing, but it's quite cool that you are able to take an on-prem instance of Windows Server that's licensed and take it up to Azure and run it at a cost that's of the base compute virtual machine in Azure versus the cost of a Windows virtual machine in Azure, because you've already paid for your license. Mm-hmm. So you've transitioned it up, and so you just pay essentially the compute virtual machine cost in Azure, not the Windows virtual machine compute cost in Azure, which is more expensive. So you need Windows, you need a license on-prem with software assurance. But once you've got that, there's a good FAQ document that I will share that talks about how can you use it, what does the benefit offer. The key thing from a technical perspective is how you get that VM up to Azure, because it doesn't apply to gallery images. If you deploy a gallery image as a Windows server, it's going to use the full cost of whatever that gallery image is to you normally. But the hybrid use benefit is applied by creating a Windows virtual machine through PowerShell, setting the new license type property for the VM, and then pushing it up to Azure and starting the VM from there. And that means that all the billing and stuff will be correctly applied once you've used that license type.
PowerShell and licensing, that's weird.
Yeah, I've combined PowerShell and licensing, I don't know, seamlessly there. It's so I'll provide those. So it's useful. It's relatively new. I mean, people don't tend to know much about it. If you've got loads of licenses on-prem, then, and you can use standard and data center licenses on-prem, and there's some useful insight into the documentation.
But is it PowerShell DSC for your licensing? Can you enforce that licensing, or is that?
I have no idea. That's not in the FAQ, but I realize it probably should be now. In a really long answered question. So sticking with documentation, Mr. Claus, who you've taken his seat there, he's been busy since he got a real job, and he's been building documentation for Azure Compute. And he's published a blog post on his blog. We shouldn't give him too many hits, really. So just, don't go to the blog. Just listen. He gets enough hits as it is. They've been working on documentation on the Azure portal for Windows VMs. He's been more focused on Linux VMs. So if you're interested in understanding more about the deployment of those workloads on Azure and Azure Virtual Machines, definitely check out his post and the link to his actual documentation as well. Cool stuff from him. Now, transitioning in Azure is something that's not that easy, especially if you've got a lot of instances that are in the old portal. You mentioned the service management approach that many people who adopted Azure already have got workloads in. There's a great post on the Azure blog from Venkat about transitioning to the resource manager model. The resource manager model being our future, or at least our current in the new portal and our future going forward. So he talks all about the benefits of the resource manager approach, from things like RBAC, from more complex apps using multi-tier templates, tagging for chargeback, deployment policies, all sorts of stuff, integration with things like GitHub as well. So loads of stuff there, but he's talked about specifically, if you're in certain customer scenarios, like if you're using Express Route, or if you've got virtual machines with VNets or no VNets, or if you've got scripts, all of these things can be transitioned, and when to expect availability for us to help you transition those. So some will be Q1 2016, some are further down the line. So a very, very important blog post if you have got resources that are in the old model and you think, uh-oh, how do I get these over to the new model most efficiently and seamlessly?
And it turns out we have no plans to deprecate the old model.
Really?
It says in the blog post. Yeah. I was surprised.
There you go. But there are advantages to have the new model, definitely. For sure.
Yeah.
That presumably means that Well, as we have no plans to deprecate the old model, there'll be nothing new added.
Technical debt is a thing, but I'm thinking at a certain point, like, nobody will desire to use the old one, and so in which case, why do you keep it?
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah,
but I will say that this is a good pitch for infrastructure as code, because, you know, hey, you automate your infrastructure, and then guess what?
Stealing guess my time what? Now that he's got his 2.5 minutes back.
I gotta do what
but
I can.
But it's true. Yeah, I mean, if you start to take that approach, you can start to more.
Then you just rebuild the whole infrastructure from scratch, and then you're good.
Yeah,
assuming it's stateless. Yeah, I mean, if it was stateful, that would be a little bit tricky.
But, right. But if you're doing that anyway, that's just probably not as good of an idea anyway.
So the final thing, it links in with what you said actually, automation. So, and it's a bit of a funny one here. So
I think something has gone wrong with Matt's machine there.
No, the cow's gone fine. Yeah, there we go. Still semi projection.
You should do it on slow-mo. The slow-mo cow.
Slow-mo cow. Well, the timer doesn't allow that functionality. So my final point that I started, so I'll finish, was around automation, so Azure automation, and hybrid cloud management, but using Azure automation to deploy a VM in AWS. Ooh. And we've got documentation on the Azure website on how to do this.
Wow,
but because Azure automation is a component of OMS, it's actually OMS automation, you can use it to automate on-prem, public cloud being Azure, and hybrid environments and non-Microsoft cloud environments. So it makes sense. So if you are using AWS, I'm sorry, but if that's fine, that's your choice, you can start to automate deployment of VMs, and the blog post, the documentation, more specifically, goes through all of that, how you get set it up, how you get the connection, and how you start to provision using runbooks, which is cool.
Essentially, if you're seeking some, enterprise-grade stuff for your AWS environment, you can come to us and we can help you with that.
Yeah, we can surround and conquer. Yeah. We'll Trojan horse in there and then start migrating. And that's Rick's 5 minutes.
Thanks, Rick.
Have you got anything else you want to add on yours before we wrap up?
No, I'm good.
No, you're doing well?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Cool.
Right, so anything on the Twitters?
We actually do have something on the Twitters. Yes, we do. We have, I'm going to get the gentleman's name slightly wrong here. Let's hope I get this right. Jonas Feller, whose blog we mentioned in the Ops Team episode 15, Whistling Nerf Bullets, said, great to hear today's blogs mentioned. So, yay, there we go. And we've mentioned him again.
So if he thanks us again, we'll have to mention him again.
Absolutely, yeah. There could be like a thing every other episode here where we keep mentioning Jonas.
And in the Thank Jonas section.
And I think we've got a couple of extra followers in there as well, which is always good.
Always good.
You can tweet us with your questions, with your comments, with your love of the show. You can...
All of the above.
Tell us we're terrible, tell us we're great, we'd like to know. And you can bring us your really hard technical questions, and we'll handle them in some sort of surgery-type fashion as best as we can. Nobody's brought any hard technical questions yet. That's because everything is so easy in the life of an ops or dev professional. Yeah.
It is very easy.
Yep.
So how can people get in touch with you?
I am at SciMonster on Twitter.
At DTZAR.
At Ops Boston, we'll just check the links.
Yep, check the links. at Matt McSpirit, and the Ops Team in general is at the Ops Team. You can get in touch with us, or the Ops Team at Microsoft if you prefer email. Yep. All that's left to do is sign off. Thanks for joining us, David.
Sure, it's always fun to drop in.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'm not disruptive at all. As we demolish the remaining area of the building.
I know, it's kind of sad there, isn't it?
We need to turn the camera around.
What's the saddest thing about this, and I don't know whether anybody else has actually been able to pick this up, is that they didn't just remove the cables, they just cut them. They've just chopped
severed all ties.
Yeah, they've probably just severed about 200 Cat 5 cables in one hit there.
Yes.
So
some ops people are crying around the world. It hurts.
Those power supplies look like nooses.
Perfectly good Cat 5e. Do we turn a video here for somebody to see?
I don't think it'll actually. We might break it.
What's it this way? Is it?
Higher.
It can't. Well,
higher. More.
Yeah. Can't. No, it's on. No. You can probably see that one. Yeah.
Can you see it?
Yeah. That one's better.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
You can see people working and stuff.
Yeah. There you go. There's people working. They might not want to be on film, but they are now. So
yeah.
Change.
So let's sign off. Let's go to security camp for the final time, because we have to take it down, and we'll figure something else out. So we'll see you again in episode 18 of the Ops Team.
Bye.
Bye.